For every Kohen Gadol taken from among men is appointed to act on people's behalf with regard to things concerning God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and with those who go astray, since he too is subject to weakness. Also, because of this weakness, he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as those of the people. And no one takes this honor upon himself. Rather, he is called by God, just as Aharon was. So neither did the Messiah glorify himself to become Kohen Gadol. Rather, it was the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." Also, as he says in another place, "You are a Kohen forever, to be compared with Malki Tzedek." During Yeshua's life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions, crying aloud and shedding tears to the one who had the power to deliver him from death. And he was heard because of his godliness. Even though he was the son, he learned obedience through his sufferings. And after he had been brought to the goal, he became the source of eternal deliverance to all who obey him, since he had been proclaimed by God as a Kohen Gadol to be compared with Malki Tzedek. We have much to say about this subject, but it is hard to explain because you have become sluggish in understanding. For although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the very first principles of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a baby, without experience in applying the word about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by continuous exercise to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, leaving behind the initial lessons about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity, not laying against the foundation of turning from works that lead to death, trusting God, and instruction about washings, smicha, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal punishment. And, God willing, this is what we will do. For when people have once been enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, become sharers in the Ruach HaKodesh, and tasted the goodness of God's word and the powers of the Olam Haba, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them so that they turn from their sin, as long as for themselves they keep executing the Son of God on the stake all over again and keep holding him up to public contempt. For the land that soaks up frequent rains and then brings forth a crop useful to its owners receives a blessing from God. But if it keeps producing thorns and thistles, it fails the test and is close to being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Now, even though we speak this way, dear friends, we are confident that you have the better things that come with being delivered. For God is not so unfair as to forget your work and the love you showed for him in your past service to his people and in your present service too. However, we want each one of you to keep showing the same diligence right up to the end, when your hope will be realized, so that you will not become sluggish, but will be imitators of those who, by their trust and patience, are receiving what has been promised. For when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore an oath to do what he had promised. And since there was no one greater than himself for him to swear by, he swore by himself and said, "I will certainly bless you, and I will certainly give you many descendants." And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham saw the promise fulfilled. Now people swear oaths by someone greater than themselves, and confirmation by an oath puts an end to all dispute. Therefore, When God wanted to demonstrate still more convincingly the unchangeable character of his intentions to those who were to receive what he had promised, he added an oath to the promise, so that through two unchangeable things, in neither of which God could lie, we, who have fled to take a firm hold on the hope set before us, would be strongly encouraged. We have this hope as a sure and safe anchor for ourselves, a hope that goes right on through to what is inside the parochet, where a forerunner has entered on our behalf, namely, Yeshua, who has become a Kohen Gadol forever, to be compared with Malki Tzedek. This Malki Tzedek, king of Shalem, a Kohen of God, Ha'elyon, met Avraham on his way back from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Also, Avraham gave him a tenth of everything. Now, first of all, by translation of his name, he is King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Shalem, which means King of Peace. There is no record of his father, mother, ancestry, birth, or death. Rather, like the Son of God, he continues as a Kohen for all time. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Avraham gave him a tenth of the choicest spoils. Now the descendants of Levi, who became Kohanim, have a commandment in the Torah to take a tenth of the income of the people, that is, from their own brothers, despite the fact that they too are descended from Avraham. But Malki Tzedek, even though he was not descendant from Levi, took a tenth from Avraham. Also, he blessed Avraham, the man who received God's promises. And it is beyond all dispute that the one who blesses has higher status than the one who receives the blessing. Moreover, in the case of the Kohanim, the tenth is received by men who die, while in the case of Malki Tzedek, it is received by someone who is testified to be still alive. One might go even further and say that Levi, who himself receives tenths, paid a tenth through Avraham, inasmuch as he was still in his ancestor Avraham's body when Malki Tzedek met him. Therefore, if it had been possible to reach the goal through the system of Kohanim derived from Levi, since in connection with it the people were given the Torah, what need would there have been for another, different kind of Kohen, the one spoken of as to be compared with Malki Tzedek, and not to be compared with Aharon? For if the system of Kohanim is transformed, there must of necessity occur a transformation of Torah. The one about whom these things are said belongs to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For everyone knows that our Lord arose out of Yehuda, and that Moshe said nothing about this tribe when he spoke about Kohanim. It becomes even clearer if a different kind of Kohen, one like Malki Tzedek, arises. One who became a Kohen not by virtue of a rule in the Torah concerning physical descent, but by virtue of the power of an indestructible life. For it is stated, "You are a Kohen forever, to be compared with Malki Tzedek." Thus, on the one hand, the earlier rule is set aside because of its weakness and inefficacy, for the Torah did not bring anything to the goal. And on the other hand, a hope of something better is introduced, through which we are drawing near to God. What is more, God swore an oath. For no oath was sworn in connection with those who become Kohanim now. But Yeshua became a Kohen by the oath which God swore when he said to him, "Adonai has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a Kohen forever." Also, this shows how much better is the covenant of which Yeshua has become guarantor. Moreover, The present Kohanim are many in number because they are prevented by death from continuing in office. But because he lives forever, his position as Kohen does not pass on to someone else. And consequently, he is totally able to deliver those who approach God through him, since he is alive forever, and thus forever able to intercede on their behalf. This is the kind of Kohen Gadol that meets our need. Holy, without evil, without stain, set apart from sinners and raised higher than the heavens. One who does not have the daily necessity, like the other Kohanim Gedolim, of offering up sacrifices first for their own sins and only then for those of the people, because he offered one sacrifice, once and for all, by offering up himself. For the Torah appoints as Kohanim Gedolim men who have weakness. But the text which speaks about the swearing of the oath, a text written later than the Torah, appoints a son who has been brought to the goal forever. Here is the whole point of what we have been saying. We do have just such a Kohen Gadol as has been described. And he does sit at the right hand of Hagdullah in heaven. There he serves in the holy place, that is, in the true tent of meeting, the one erected not by human beings, but by Adonai. For every Kohen Gadol is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So this Kohen Gadol, too, has to have something he can offer. Now, if he were on earth, he wouldn't be a Kohen at all, since there already are Kohanim offering the gifts required by the Torah. But what they are serving is only a copy and shadow of the heavenly original. For when Moshe was about to erect the tent, God warned him, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern you were shown on the mountain." But now the work Yeshua has been given to do is far superior to theirs, just as the covenant he mediates is better. For this covenant has been given as Torah on the basis of better promises. Indeed, if the first covenant had not given ground for fault-finding, there would have been no need for a second one. For God does find fault with the people when he says, "See, the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will establish over the house of Israel and over the house of Yehudah a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by their hand and led them forth out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I, for my part, stopped concerning myself with them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will teach his fellow citizen or his brother, saying, 'Know Adonai,' for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will be merciful toward their wickednesses and remember their sins no more." By using the term new, he has made the first covenant old, and something being made old, something in the process of aging, is on its way to vanishing altogether.